Sare Krishna, welcome everyone. After the exam, if I forget, remind me. I can give the papers at the end of the class. So we'll start chapter 8, attaining the supreme today. So the connection between the chapters is that, you know, at the end of 7th chapter, Krishna introduced new terms. Like in the last verse, we see Sadi Bhutam, Adi Daivam, Sadi Agnyam, right? And Prayanakale, at the end of death, Krishna says, those in full consciousness of me, who knows me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. So he introduced three new terms, Adi Bhutam, Adi Daivam, Adi Agnyam, and he also talked about how to remember him and know him at the time of death. So Arjuna is in the 8th chapter, he begins asking some clarifying questions, you know, what are these new terms? He wants a definition from Krishna. So he asks like 8 questions, and Krishna spends like first 2 verses answering 7 questions, and the whole rest of the chapter is answering the last question, which is the most important. So we'll cover those sections today, like, you know, I think 1 to 5 we thought, right? So I can give you the section outline now. So 1 to 4, Krishna answers Arjuna's questions. So basically Arjuna's questions and Krishna's reply. At least the first 7 questions. Then 5 to 8, Krishna talks about how to remember him at the time of death. How to remember Krishna at time of death. 9 to 13, it's more again, you know, about remembering Krishna. How to see him. What, you know, what's the way in which we can remember him again? 5 to 8 is remember Krishna at the time of death. 9 to 13, again remembering Krishna. 14 to 16 is talking about pure devotional service. 17 to 22, he is comparing material and spiritual worlds. Now he is talking about how material world is temporary, even Brahma has to die, but spiritual world is eternal. And 23 to 28 is talking about again supremacy of pure devotional service in attaining Krishna. Now how pure devotional service is superior when compared to all the other paths. Essentially in this chapter, Krishna is going to talk about something called Yoga Mishra Bhakti. We talked about Mishra Bhakti, mixed devotion. So he's going to talk about yoga, what we discussed, Dhyana Yoga, right? That kind of yoga, which is mixed with bhakti. But then at the end, last 23 to 28, he's going to say how pure devotion is the best way to attain him, not this yoga and that yoga again. So again, that's why this title is called Attaining the Supreme. Like how to remember Krishna at the moment of death, so that in the next life we can attain him. So that's the whole thing, you know. That's the last question Arjuna asks, which is where Krishna focuses the whole chapter, which is how to remember him at the time of death. So very, you know, crucial chapter.
What is the last question that Arjuna doesn't ask any other question after this?
No, last question in this set of questions. Okay, we'll read text number 1. Arjuna Uvacha. Kim tat brahma kim dhyatmam kim karma purushottama adi bhutam cha kim proktam adi daivam kim uchyate. So if you want to, like, you know, write down numbers either in Sanskrit or in the English, Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? So that's first. What is the self? Second, Atma, what is Atma? So what is Brahma, Kim Adhyatma, Adhyatma, what is Self? What are fruitive activities? What is Karma basically? And what is this material manifestation? So 1, 2, 3, 4, that's 4th. And what are demigods? Please explain this to me. That's 5 questions.
You said 7 questions. 8 questions, 7 answers. Next question. Oh,
okay, we'll read the last paragraph, the purport.
Arjuna has explained
that
Krishna is addressed the Supreme Lord as Purushottama, Supreme Person, which means that he was putting these questions not simply to a friend but to the Supreme Person, knowing him to be the Supreme Authority, able to give definitive answers.
So he's addressing Krishna as Purushottama. So in the lecture, Srila Prabhupada was telling there are three types of Purushas, three categories. This is the first time I heard actually. It's called Adama Purusha, Madhyama Purusha, and Uttama Purusha. He's talking about Adama Purusha is like all of us. We are actually Prakriti, means to be enjoyed by the Lord, but somehow we want to become Purusha. So, but that's why he's saying we are lowest kind of Purusha. Why we are lowest kind of Purusha? Because we cannot enjoy independently on our own. Prabhupada was saying we need so many things have to work in properly in such a way that we can enjoy. Like, you know, everything has to be, we should have slept earlier day and night properly, and today, you know, proper food and no proper chanting, so many things, you know. Of course I'm talking in devotional way, but even as a sense, as a materialist also, so many things. Like, you know, even if I have to go to movie, you know, they should not hit any traffic, otherwise the mood changes again, they get frustrated. Everything has to, so many things we depend on in order to enjoy. That's why he's saying we are Adama Purusha, lowest. Madhyama Purusha is the super soul. The super soul. I think he talks from the top actually. So Purusha Uttama. Uttama Purusha is Krishna. Purusha Uttama. Uttama Purusha is Krishna. And super soul is the Madhyama Purusha, because he is the he's a person between Jiva and the Krishna. Like, you know, he's the one who interacts between Krishna and Jiva. It's like that. So like in between, so that's why it's called Madhyama Purusha. So this is something new I heard. I thought I was sharing. So he understands Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Arjuna. And that's why he's asking these important questions to Krishna directly. Because now we know, right? He's in disciple-guru relationship, not no more friend. So okay, let's go to the next verse, text number 2. This continues further questions. Adi yajna katam kotra dehesmin madhusudana prayane kale cha katam neyosi niyatatma bi. So sixth question is, who is the Lord of sacrifice and how does he live in this body? That is 7. Like, you know, dehesmin, kotra dehesmin, how does he live in this body? O Madhusudana. And 8th one is, and how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? That's the last question. Now, how can one who is engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? Now, how can one remember him at the time of death? So, this is what actually, some notes I have written down when I studied this. It's a very important question to ask. It's in Prabhupada's telling, you know, very important question to ask. How to know Krishna, how to remember Krishna at the time of death? So same question, who asked? Does he know? Who knows? Who asked this question? Parikshit Maharaj also asked the same question. When he was cursed by Sringi, that sent her 7 days, snake is going to bite him. Then he renounced all his kingdom. He gave up all his duties and came to the bank of Ganges. And then all the sages assembled that place because they knew something very significant is going to happen. Parikshit Maharaj is not an ordinary king. He is coming from a very rich heritage. Like, you know, he's Arjuna's grandson and Krishna's, you know, relative. Kind of Krishna's grandson also. So, and he's a Rajarshi. He ruled the kingdom only for the benefit of people. It's not like exploitation. Like, you know, these days Prabhupada was saying, you know, people take taxes for their enjoyment, but kings, they take taxes so that in case of emergency, they can help the citizens. So, everything like a, you know, proper ideal kingdom. Everybody was so happy. So then he had actually the power to curse him back, Sringi. Because it's just for a minor mistake that the snake, he put a snake out of anger on his father, Shamik Rishi, because he was thirsty and he didn't greet him. Because of that, he put snake and he angrily went and immediately realized what mistake he made. He felt, you know, I never did like this, you know, what has come upon me. Then he felt, I'm going to accept whatever is going to happen now. So then he got the news that he was cursed, that 7 days he is going to die. Then he accepted it and he's left everything and went to the bank of Ganges to, to inquire, you know, to really focus on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then all the sages assembled because they are going to know 7 days are going to be very, very special. Something wonderful is going to happen. Then everybody came there. Then Krishna, Maharaj Parikshit asked these two questions to the sages, you know, how can one remember Krishna at the time of death? How can one, what activity should one do in this life, whole life? You know, what are the duties anybody has to perform? And especially, what should one remember, what should one worship, what should one hear about the whole life? No? Can somebody tell these two questions, answers to these questions? And everybody, all the sages were discussing, they, nobody felt they should answer. Then suddenly Sukadeva Goswami, who is transcendental, who was not even wearing clothes, he was so transcendental, he was just, you know, 16 years, very young, and he came. And then all the sages unanimously elected Sukadeva Goswami to reply to Maharaj Parikshit, and they gave him the Vyasasan, and that's when the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. So whole Srimad Bhagavatam is answering this question, how to remember Krishna at the time of death. And now Krishna is dedicating one chapter in this Bhagavad Gita. No, so very, very crucial question. No, hopefully we'll spend some time delving deep into this, you know, point. So then we'll read some sections of the purport. So significance of Madhusudana. Why Krishna is addressed as what is Madhusudana? We heard in first chapter, right? The different names and meaning. Killer of demon Madhu. Okay. So we'll read second paragraph, then we'll know what Prabhupada is saying.
Arjuna addresses the Lord as Madhusudana because Krishna once killed a demon named Madhu. Actually, these questions, which are of the nature of doubts, should not have arisen in the mind of Arjuna because Arjuna is a Krishna conscious devotee. Therefore, these doubts are like demons. Since Krishna is so expert in killing demons, Arjuna here addresses him as Madhusudana so that Krishna might kill the demonic doubts that arise in Arjuna's mind.
So actually we know, right, Arjuna is asking doubts for ourselves. It's not that, you know, he has any doubt about anything. He's completely pure devotee, but Prabhupada mentioned many times, he's asking for us. So, and because he can kill the doubt like demons in his mind, that's why he's addressing him as Madhusudana. So then we'll read this paragraph, full paragraph. It's very important. So Prabhupada is going to talk about this word, significant word, prayana kale, means the moment of death, right? At the time of death. So we'll read this and we'll try to, you know, focus this session on this mood, like, you know, how to prepare ourselves for the death. Okay, we can read.
Now the word prayana kale in this verse is very significant because whatever we do in life will be tested at the time of death. Arjuna is very anxious to know of those who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. What should be their position at the final moment? At the time of death, all the bodily functions are disrupted and the mind is not in a proper condition. Thus, disturbed by the bodily situation, one may not be able to remember the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Kulsekhara, a great devotee, prays, "My dear Lord, just now I am quite healthy and it is better that I die immediately so that the swan of my mind can seek entrance at the stem of your lotus feet." The metaphor is used because the swan, a bird of the water, takes pleasure in digging into the lotus flowers. Its sporting proclivity is to enter the lotus flower. Maharaj Kulsekhara says to the Lord, "Now my mind is undisturbed and I am quite healthy. If I die immediately thinking of your lotus feet, then I am sure that my performance of your devotional service will become perfect. But I have to wait for my natural death. Then I do not know what will happen because at that time the bodily functions will be disrupted. My throat will be choked up and I do not know whether I shall be able to chant your name. Better let me die immediately." Arjuna questions how a person can fix his mind on Krishna's lotus feet at such a time.
Okay, so Srila Prabhupada is talking about prayana kale, moment of death. He's saying, you know, the whole life, whatever we did, it's going to be tested at the time of death. And also why it's so crucial? Because all the bodily functions are going to be disrupted. So everything falls apart. So, you know, we have seen many places, many people, right? How, what they go through. Actually, in our cases also, we can see. One day we fall sick. It's so tough even to chant 16 rounds, you know, what, so tough to do anything, to do cook also, to take care of children or duties, anything also is so tough. Imagine at the moment of death, it's like it's a thousand or a million scorpions biting you at the same time. So many. Okay, some number. Okay, some number of scorpions biting you at the same time. It's so painful, not only physically, also emotionally. Why emotionally? All your attachments are being just taken away in one shot. Imagine. Like, you know, day to day now, if something happens to our car or something which we are very close to, so many days we remember that, right? And you know, we'll be so gloomy for so much, and at the moment of death, at one shot, everything is going to be taken away, like, you know, and how painful it will be. So that's why we have to practice a life of detachment, you know, we have to practice it now when we are healthy. That's what Kulashekara is saying, that when I am healthy now, let me remember Krishna. No, let me die now, because now I can remember Krishna. At the moment of death, I don't know what's going to happen. So let me remember now. So one may not be able to remember the Supreme Lord. So then, are we? So when is death coming? Does everybody know when it's coming? Anytime. Prabhupada says, actually, you know, death can come anytime. Only when somebody is born, what is sure is
death.
That's why it's said as sure as death. They say, right? As sure as death. We don't know when, but it's going to happen. So that's why Prabhupada is saying, you know, every moment we should be ready. At any moment it can come. We should be, every moment to moment we should be Krishna conscious. So we are ready at any time. So that's the preparation we should do. That's why ours is called art of
dying.
Ours is art of dying. So it's like, you know, we Prabhupada's Leelamrita first volume. What is Prabhupada's Leelamrita first volume title? Lifetime in preparation. So we are his lifetime in preparation for the final exam. So it is said that our bhajan is tested at the moment of death. Whatever bhajan means, whatever devotional service we have done, that will be tested at the moment of death. So one may feel, actually, you know, okay, sincerely I tried my best in this life to, you know, surrender, remember Krishna. But at the moment of death, you know, all these bodily functions, all this happen, and somehow I may not be able to remember. No, but then, because it's not about that moment again at the same time. It's about the whole sincerity throughout the whole life. No, what is our surrender? What's the sincerity? That's when Krishna will arrange. Many times, many incidents it happens, like proper disciples, they surrendered and they served him in the mission for dedicatedly for some amount of time. But somehow after Prabhupada left, they also left and they went into, you know, Maya, all those things. It so happened for many cases, just before they're about to die, like, you know, when they knew that they had a cancer or something, somehow devotees took them. And then they surrounded with devotees at the moment where they are about to pass. So that's mercy, actually, you know. That's how Krishna arranges. Because of that sincere service we have done. That's why Radhakrishna Prabhu also said, if you have done any amount of sincere service, better you know, if you are a little bit sincere, better you give up slowly yourself. Otherwise, he said, warning, otherwise what will happen? I might have told you earlier. What will happen is, yeah, at the end of the life, Krishna will drag you back. But when he drags you, it's very painful. Because, you know, you have to go through all the amount of purification, very short amount of time. But rather now, we have so many years, hopefully, so many years. So slowly we can give it up. You know, okay, let me count, you know, let me give up this, let me give up this, let me all this, you know, all those things we can do gradually. Instead, if he is sincere, but if we try to still hold on, then towards the end, he will force us to bring us back. Because he wants us back. So, you know, better we do it ourselves, you know, pray at least, you know, to have that opportunity. So, I was also sharing this, you know, my own personal incident once, right? Like, initially when I was coming to Krishna consciousness, still, of course, we have our old friends and all those things, right? And I was not married at the time. So, almost I knew that, you know, I was in a very distressful situation. I didn't have any other solution. I knew that this is the only solution. And when I met devotees, when I took up Krishna consciousness, I was so satisfied, so happy, and so wholeheartedly. I didn't have any doubts, any questions, anything. I was, from the heart, I was very into it, you know, very, very much satisfied. But at the same time, because I was coming from a different, rather, you know, I had a, it's like, you know, transition. You have, your life is filled with your meetings with friends or some other things, right, already occupied. So it takes some time to replace that with Krishna, right? And of course, at that time, we didn't have many Matajis, I think, you know. So it's tough for me to have a strong bonding with, completely replace everything with one Mataji like that, you know. It was not like that. So I was, from the heart, I gave to Krishna. I gave, you know, okay, this is what I'm going to embrace. But still, at least, you know, I gave up most of it. But one thing I was just holding on last minute, you know. Even I think, remember, some long weekend or something, I went with friends. You know, of course, that time we didn't have many girls also. It's all boys. With boys I went. Long weekend somewhere outside. Then, no, but then I was sure I want to chant. So, when nobody, no, I was getting up at 5 or something and came out of the hotel, and then I was standing on the road somewhere so that they don't see and they don't get, they don't feel anything different. So I was chanting. Then first day went to second day something. But gradually I noticed that trip, something happened that, I got an indication that whatever then one attachment I was attached to, that was just taken away. I cannot depend on it. It's no more there for me. So I remember still walking on the road crying, and I was thinking, Krishna, I want to come to you, but this is coming too fast. I cannot handle it like this. So I knew that's the feeling I had. But that's all. After the trip, finished. All my old friends, everything finished, and I had to, I was forced to, that's Krishna's mercy that somehow I was, able to dedicate more fully after that. Then no more, any more friends anymore, anything, So it's nice if we can give up ourselves. Like, otherwise I could have done, dragged it for so many years, and slowly, putting leg on two boats and trying to, move.
Then Mataji, remembering Krishna like when something happens sudden. For example, like when I was doing a service at a temple, so I was cooking in the kitchen and suddenly fire cut, the oil got sputtered and it caught fire. And instantly I said, Rakesh, like it caught fire. And then the Mataji said, you didn't call out for Krishna.
Krishna.
So you are thinking Rakesh Prabhu will help you more than Krishna. But somehow it put, on its own it put up, like nothing happened.
Exactly.
But I still remember that when something immediate happens, what exactly you call for?
That's exactly. So that's why we have to cultivate what is our shelter. Like, when gradually, when things are good, we should cultivate that, taking shelter. They say good things, good days are preparation for the bad, good times are preparation for bad times. So when everything is good, we should wholeheartedly try to take shelter of Krishna, so that when the amount of reversals or some emergency things happen, hopefully we can remember Krishna. So, we should understand, Bhagavatam also says, husband, wife, children, these are all fallible soldiers. Fallible means they cannot help us. We can just see, right? We may not see it in our lives, see it in others' lives, right? What will happen? We came with nothing. This very nice story of Alexander the Great, right? Can you tell?
So Alexander, at the time of death, he requested everybody that after he dies, he wants to be placed in an open casket with his hands held out like this, with all the doctors leading the way, all the wealth leading the way, and to him following, so that the message goes out that when, no matter how much money you have, how many doctors you have, nobody can save you. You came with nothing, you're going with nothing.
Mm.
So that's the message.
That's the realization he had, and he was sharing that, so profound. So, we, they say we came naked, we go naked, right? That's what they say, So we somehow, that's the conditioning we have, especially, wife thinks husband is going to protect. Husband, I don't know whether he thinks wife will protect, but at least wife, that's the mood of chastity and faith, they depend completely on the husband. And the children think parents are going to protect. But actually, Bhagavatam says, these are all fallible soldiers. We shouldn't, the ideal thing is to, husband, if it's Krishna conscious, he should train the wife and children to depend on Krishna in all the circumstances. I was remembering one incident, kids are, our kids are small, right? Like, not even 2 years, it's going to be 2 years in 1 year, 1 month. So, sometimes they are scared for some Maharati, sometimes, some sounds he gets scared, his whole expression changes and he's so scared. Immediately he wants to, he wants me to hold him, hug him and give the, affection, all those things. Initially, I remember, I was somehow having this, I had this realization, so I wanted to share, it's related to this. So initially, when that happened, sometimes, I used to say, Marathi, don't be afraid, Amma is there, Amma is there. Few times I told like this. Then, one day what happened, he went into inside the closet room, it's a closet, but it has a door also. And I thought he came out, it's night actually, so I thought he came out, then I wanted them to lock, because otherwise they pull all the clothes out, it's too much for me to fix. So I was telling him, come out, I'm going to close the door. So I closed the door actually, I switched off the light, I closed the door, and I came out, I didn't notice, Narasimha came out, but Maharati was inside. Then he was trying to open, I didn't hear the sound also, it didn't open, it's little bit tight, that one. And then he shouted, he screamed. Then I realized, oh, he was inside. It was dark. He was scared. Then I opened and then I held him. Then immediately I said, you know, okay, when you are afraid, you should remember Narasimha Dev. He is going to always protect you from, you know, whenever you are in danger, okay? Can you remember Narasimha Dev? I told like, then I felt, you know, this is what I should teach. I should tell. From childhood, I should tell them how to depend on Krishna in all circumstances like this. Instead of, you know, somehow me feeling that I will protect. Of course, my heart is to protect, right? But we should understand we are just instrument in protecting. If Krishna doesn't make us capable, we will not be able to protect them, right? We should not think on our own we are protecting children on our own strength, right? We are just instrument of Krishna's love and Krishna's protection to the children. You know, so how much, so but if you can inculcate that in them, that you know, you depend on Krishna in all circumstances, that's the real thing which we can give them. Then I felt, you know, that, so this is what I have done, I should do. I didn't know what I was doing earlier, I don't know. So somehow this realization Krishna gave.
Another example as to how to trust only Krishna, right? So he said, you know, fathers, like parents protect children or husbands protect wives. So Draupadi had not one but five husbands, none of them protected her. Situation like what is supposed to be the father, Dhritarashtra or the Pitama, Bhishma Pitama, nobody protected. Only protector is him. You take his shelter, everything is okay.
So, only
protector is him because everybody else is temporary.
Yeah.
So, this is from Velukudi Krishna's lecture.
Yeah.
So, apparently when Rama, Lakshmana and Sita were going to go and the mantri, Sumant was there, he's saying, asking from all three what news you want to convey to your dad. So, Rama says, there is nothing I can tell him, please take care of him. So, she asks Sita Devi, Mataji, what do you want to say? She says, I'm in most position to speak. I came from somewhere, I was supposed to be somewhere, I am here now, and she's thinking all that, but she's saying, no, I have nothing. So, they ask Lakshmana, what do you want to tell your father? He says, that's a wrong question to ask. Okay, what do you want me to ask? Tell me what you want to ask King Dasharatha. So, he comes back and says, What did Rama say? So Rama has said you to take care of you. Sita ji has said hasn't spoken anything. Lakshmana has said you are not his father. So Dashratha is like, that shouldn't have been the end of the sentence. What else did he say? He has said that no longer are you my father. No longer is my mother. Only father is Rama. Only mother is Sita. That was the conviction that he had. So that was the service attitude, and that's our only source. That's why.
Very nice, yeah, but for us to have that, you know, how, you know, it takes, you know, lifetime of cultivation actually, you know, because we don't have that. As you know, naturally wife depends on husband and children depends on parents, you know, but we should, how do we cultivate that, you know, that's the question, you know, we should discuss, you know, what is the, you know, how do we cultivate this mood of dependence on Krishna? Practically how we can do is, you know, we do it in good times, right? Good times we depend on Krishna, we chant attentively, we do it. And in the times of reversals, when some things happen which is not in our, you know, the way we expect things, those times are especially more testing times. That's where we should take more shelter, more turn more to Krishna rather than turn to all material solutions. Generally people are faithless or people don't have complete faith in Krishna. When some things happen, immediately they try to solve it through their own intelligence and everything. But instead, if you somehow, you know, cultivate this, okay, I'm not able to solve it, you know, turn to Krishna first and take more shelter of Krishna. More taking shelter. What is taking shelter of Krishna? How do we take shelter of Krishna?
I'm not thinking that I can do it.
No, but positively, how do we take shelter of Krishna? No, through process of devotional service, that's when we take shelter of, by taking shelter of holy name, by chanting his holy name, you know, by lectures, you know, discourses, or, you know, reading his scriptures and things like that. You know, Mukundatha Prabhu, he said, whenever he finds so much solace in Bhagavad Gita, whenever he finds there is some issue, something, you know, just opens Bhagavad Gita, he feels he gets a solution. No, that's taking shelter. He has such faith. He has gotten such reciprocation with Krishna. Krishna reciprocates according to our attitude. Right? It's not like, you know, if I open, I'll find the same. He opens, he finds. It's not like, it's a, how do we approach him? That's what he's going to reciprocate. If we say, Krishna, you are the only shelter for me, you know, you have to really help me, then he's going to help. But Draupadi thinks, you know, so many people can help. That's why he didn't help. So later Draupadi asked Krishna, right? This part I also heard every time I say, and all of you will forget all the time. So who remembers this? So after that incident, right, Krishna supplied sari and protected Draupadi. So later on, Draupadi meets Krishna. And she asks, no, Krishna, I always surrendered to you and I am completely devoted to you. Why first time when I called, when I was in trouble, why you didn't protect me?
She was holding on to the sari.
Yeah, so that's what Krishna said. No, you didn't call me first time. No, you tried your best with your two feeble hands to try to protect yourself. When you felt it's not going to work, you held one hand up and you're pulling, you know, holding with one hand. Then you turn to all your husbands, then you turn to all this, you know, Pitamaha and all these people, then thinking they are going to protect you. You didn't turn to me. So finally, when you didn't have any other recourse and you turned to me, then I was available. That's what I was looking for, he told. No, so that's what Krishna is looking for, our complete surrender. Now, of course, we are so fortunate that Krishna is also so merciful that gradually, even in the beginning stages of surrender, beginning stage of devotional service, we can feel his reciprocation, right? In so many ways. That's what I wanted you to share. Actually, you know, what did you feel about your achievement? Because immediately we didn't have class. So, Swami Prabhu shared very wonderful news about his coffee. So I wanted to hear. We wanted to hear about his realizations. You know, how it increased his faith and things like that.
Slowly increasing. My faith is always there. It's just that when I was not drinking coffee, I used to have headache. But after one Ekadasi, I didn't have any headache that day. I said, okay, this is one day. This is gone. Then Sahu was also saying, slowly you let go, man. It will go like that. And then there's one more friend of mine. He said, if you can manage for 20 days. It will not go away. So, like that, one day at a time. So, middle 1 or 2 days I used to get, but I said, okay, let me just hold on like that. And I said, I'm trying to go, come to you only, you should do something. And you know, that slowly went away after some time. Then, after 20 days, no urge for coffee. Even if you give coffee, I don't know.
Hari Bo! Hare Krishna. So, we are all so pleased, so happy. So
all your blessings.
Krishna, so nice. I shared immediately after you shared. I shared, wrote a letter to Radhakrishna Prabhu. You know, it's kind of so that we can get some pats. He said, shared like, you know, somebody is coming almost 3 years and he was struggling initially. Now he's able to give up, and I actually shared that, you know, it's all your blessings because, you know, he's the one who's training us. Then he said, you know, don't give me credit. I don't deserve the credit. It's all the good work you're doing. So he says like that. We should say like that. That's how it is. But anyway, so. Yeah, so I remember initially, you know, we used to always pull this example all the time. And initially, he was okay, jovial. After some time, he said, Mataji, it's not funny, you know, you don't know how much headache I get. He used to say, one time I felt bad little bit, you know. I know, but I felt, you know, it's a pain. No, I'm just talking words, but he's experiencing the pain, right? So, but somehow we all let it go, and just time Krishna reciprocated. No, so these incidents actually increase our faith. When we feel these are ways Krishna is reciprocating with us. How is it happening otherwise, right? You know, this because of our sincere endeavor and determination, Krishna is reciprocating with us, right? These are ways we should find Krishna's presence in our lives. So
no,
we are.
I want to share one experience. Not going very details. A long time back, like I had this Bhagavad Gita at home, Rakesh Prabhu had got from ISKCON only, but that time we are not coming, I just got married, and for some distress, whatever it was, I don't want to go into it, but I was holding Bhagavad Gita and I knew something is there, but I didn't understand anything, neither my English is very good, or those the lingo, the language which is used, nothing I was able to understand. And but I can't believe today I'm sitting here and reading Bhagavad Gita with you all people. So it is truly, it is like I had heard this Bhagavad Gita and I was thinking, and I'm here today.
Hari Bo, yeah.
Ani Mataji.
Yeah. No, Krishna has so many wonderful ways. He's just looking, the super soul is the closest to us, right? He's just, that's why, you know, it's a witnessing bird. He's just looking when we are going to turn back to him. We are so busy eating fruits and, you know, feeling the sometimes bitter food, sometimes sweet food, sometimes feeling pain and pleasure. We are so busy in our own. But he's just waiting, you know, can you turn this side? I'm going to give you proper direction. So that's what he is waiting for. He is ready, he is eager, you know, but we are not ready. We are so busy, we busy ourselves with so much, you know, so-called enjoyment. So many lifetimes we have been trying. That's why Prabhupada always says, you know, just give one life to Krishna. Just give one life. If we can just, I keep repeating this so much because, you know, if we just somehow submit to this instruction Srila Prabhupada is giving, just give one life. Means not just in words, with heart, with all your endeavor, with all your, just make it the focus, that's all. In one life. Then see what happens. You know, just leave. This another point, like, you know, many, about Lord's protection also, right? Like, even Srila, Lord can protect us. Sometimes, we may see, like, you know, sometimes, oh, I'm chanting, I'm surrendering to Krishna, but still, you know, why I got this health issue? You know, why my, you know, in this accident, my leg got cut? We feel like so many ways, oh, I'm chanting, Krishna, you know, I'm chanting, I'm serving you, I'm this thing, you know, you're not protecting me. That's what we feel, right? So I wanted to clarify, you know, Krishna, Rompan Maharaj makes this statement, you know, you can write it if you want. Surrender to Krishna is in his terms, not our terms. Okay, so surrender to Krishna is in his terms. So he knows exactly what we need to do to surrender to him. It's not like, you know, this way I will surrender, this is best for me, you know, according to my situation, everything. But he wants a different way, maybe it's harder for us, but you know, that's what he wants. What can we do? So, you know, so it's a very, very, what to say, very deep statement actually. So, the reciprocation Krishna gives also is sometimes we may not expect. We expect Krishna to reciprocate in certain way. Like, you know, this Mataji will talk to us in this way, or, you know, in this result exam, I'll get this result. We have certain expectation how Krishna should reciprocate. But he may reciprocate in a completely different way. No, but we should, if we are Krishna conscious, we can sense that. No, actually in difficulty also Krishna is reciprocating with me. That's the highest realization we should come to. Tattenu kampam susamikshamana, this verse. Bunjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvag vapurbir vidadan namaste jivetayo muktipade sabdayabak. It says, this is Brahma says this prayer, that a devotee who after going through so many obstacles, so many disturbances and so many, you know, upheavals, so many miseries, after going through all of that, still with folded hands, he bows down to you saying, oh my Lord, I am just your servant and continue serving you. That is the person who is qualified to attain your, kingdom. Dayabak. He is qualified to attain your kingdom. Not anywhere. So that, what does it mean? That means these situations are going to come, but we should remain faithful and we should see it as Krishna's mercy. That should turn the situation, you know, so-called happiness and distress, as Krishna's mercy. Seeing it as Krishna's mercy and using it as an opportunity to come closer to Krishna. That's what we should come to. Otherwise, the way we, the platform we are at, we are as Prakritya, you know, what is that? Yeah, we are just, you know, just trying to be a devotee, right? So in that platform, when something good happens, we think, oh, it's Krishna's mercy. But when something bad happens, we think, oh, you know, Krishna is not listening to me. He is not, you know, what I'm doing is waste. You know, what am I chanting? What, nobody is listening. Nobody is caring. No, that's what immediately the faith goes away. But higher platform is this. How do we see this? If we cannot see it, at least we should talk to some other devotees who can say, you know, this is actually mercy. So, for example, some incident, Harilas Prabhu, like few years back, we were not even there at that time, I think. He had a house, I think, somewhere. He had in the factory, he had a house. And suddenly, he got fire in this house. It got, whole thing got burnt. He was saved. I don't know what materials got saved. But it didn't even affect him a little bit, actually. He just walked out and he started staying in his office, in factory. That's all. Nothing. No, so, you know, there's that platform basically, you know. Can we imagine something happens to our car or something happens to our loved ones, like, you know, our children or our husband. No, how can we, you know, sometimes I'm also afraid, you know, Krishna, I'm not ready for that test yet, you know, please don't take me so fast. You know, I cannot, at least, right now I need that support, you know, to continue. But the way, you know, okay, see, this thing I understood, or at least that's a realization I had. No, why we had to face material miseries, material difficulties, especially after coming to devotional service. Of course, you know, if we are not devotees, we have to face out of karma. Now whatever karma we have to go through, so you have to go through, so it's all under the jurisdictions of karma. Because we did bad, we have to get bad. But after becoming devotees, after from wholeheartedly trying to serve Krishna, why devotees have to go through miseries?
So prarabdha karma doesn't affect.
Especially after initiation, it said most of the karma is gone. Prarabdha karma is still there. Little bit is there. Little bit actually means a lot actually. More, too much for a lifetime. Little bit is there which Krishna uses as a, yeah, that's what I wanted to get to know. So these are different points we should consider. Now why do devotees who are already surrendering to Krishna or already on the path, sincerely surrender to Krishna, go through material miseries or so-called misery? No, health issues or to get more purified. So basically, you know, gold you put in fire, the more fire it gets burnt, it becomes more purer. So they say the devotee gets purified because of the fire of ordeal. The fire of ordeal is going to ordeal. I am not pronouncing properly. Ordeal is going to purify the devotion. No, just so that he can remove all. Instead of, you know, surrendering Krishna only when things are good. When he understands that, okay, no, you know, actually I have to surrender Krishna when things are bad also. You know, these things will go astray. So the, all these dirty things will go away so that he can focus on Krishna. That's one thing. Other thing?
They are tested, their belief is tested.
Yes, exactly. So it's tested. Always I said, right, it's a high jump. High jump we practice, somebody practice at a particular level, right? He jumps, practice and finally he jumps over. Then immediately teacher raises the bar. Then you again practice, jump. So like that, you know, tests are always, Krishna is raising our bar. Same thing happens in a relationship with spiritual master also. Initially, we are very new, right? It's like babies. That's what, you know, infants. Infants, they need so much attention and care and love and affection and so much from the parents, right? So much, you know, they have to be around. Every minute, they have to be, they need very close, very infants, very small. So similarly, when we are in the infant stage and devotional service, spiritual master also gives so much attention. You know, depends on the, you know, spiritual master's mood and, you know, the way they train the disciples, but at least that's what I felt in my case. So he gives so much personal affection, you know, attention, affection, and no time and detailed instructions and so many things. Baby steps, you know, so that to help walking. But what is expectation? Expectation is the child is going to grow up, stand, work on his own, stand his own legs, and continue walking and running. So the spiritual master is expecting, okay, one day his disciple is going to become stronger, stable. So, you know, he can start handling, you know, based on the knowledge he receives, he can make decisions, at least basic decisions on his own. Not like every small thing, okay, if I have to move this house to that house, should I ask spiritual master, you have to move this office to that office, spiritual master. Initially, it was like that, you know, they can give this access. But later on, it's not like that, you know, they leave you, let you go, you know, you start walking now. Because that's where the spiritual master expects you to grow up. So very instructive thing for me actually. So somehow I was also fortunate like that. Initial stages I was doing a service where spiritual master was, you know, basically I was uploading his lectures on his website. So he basically tells me, you know, these are lecture you have to upload. Then I upload and then I replied to him. Like that, and he checks, you know, whether I upload it properly or something like that. And then he sometimes says, you know, you did some mistake, this thing, that thing. The one thing I wanted to share was like, initially, you know, I was sincerely trying my best to serve the best way, you know, from whatever instruction I've received, whatever, you know, he gives, like, you know, do it like this, trying to follow those steps and practically doing it. I was doing it the best of my ability. And many times it so happened, like something or the other, what I noticed was, so I felt, I was so confident that I was very meticulous and I'm very cautious and exactly, you know, I knew, you know, how he wants everything to be very professional. He doesn't want anything to go down or something, you know. But one day somehow I don't check the site or something, somehow he checks and suddenly that site will be something wrong with the site. You know, it doesn't even come up. Then I get the message from my mentors, everything, you know, site is not coming, what is Shyamala doing? Then I see, oh, site is, how come I didn't catch it? So what I felt in all these experiences that somehow, you know, he catches exactly when I had to make mistakes. So many times, and one time he wrote a big mail chastising, you know, how long you have to keep making this small mistakes, you know, how long I have to correct you, when will you grow up? That's what he said actually, you know, it was so painful that I felt bad that, you know, he had to do that for me. You know, I could have done better, but at least, you know, from my whatever capacity I had, I was trying my best. No, but that's what they expect. They expect us to grow up so that, you know, they don't have to train us with basic things, but they expect us to help us in their mission, you know, assist us instead of, you know, training. So children, parents expect the children will grow up, earn the job so that, you know, they can rest, retire. The children will take care of the parents. It's like that. So, we should also, that's why, you know, even that same thing applies in any case. Any relationship also. Sometimes we feel initially when you come to Krishna consciousness, devotees are very affectionate. You know, small mistakes they will forget. They will not even chastise or they will not do anything. But after 1 year, 2 years, you will feel actually, you know, same devotees become very strict. But that's what is expected. You cannot be, you know, same new person after 1 year, after so much of affection, so much of instruction, so much of guidance, still keeping doing the same mistakes. You know, that means you are not working on it. No, it's just wasting time. Right, so that's what we'll experience in relation. If we are mercy, if Krishna's mercy is there, somebody will chastise us. That's very good. Okay, so some more examples about Krishna's protection. So I was telling, right, protection can come in different ways. But sometimes, actually, there is a very nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam also. Krishna actually can protect us from death also. If it's needed, that a devotee has to stay either to complete his perfection in life, for, you know, he didn't attain prema yet, or in order to do more service for Krishna in this world. Either in two cases, Krishna may actually even stop his stop his scheduled death. Prabhupada said it's scheduled according to karma, it's going to happen, but actually Krishna can change it for the sake of service to the Lord. So a couple of incidents I wanted to share regarding this is, like, you know, Srila Prabhupada himself, Jaladuta, when he travelled, right, somehow it's all related. All these incidents I prepared for tomorrow's Bhagavatam class, and now it's coming here. So in Jaladuta, he suffered 2 heart attacks, right? Later on, he shared with his disciples, like, you know, I don't know, people, and then later on he had a dream that time in the ship that actually Krishna assured him, you know, don't worry. I'm protecting you. You just go, just write books. I will take care of everything. So then later on in New York in 1967, in New York, he suffered 3rd heart attack. So Prabhupada said, actually somebody said, actually if you have 3 heart attacks, you're gone. Somebody said. So I don't know how I survived. I got 3rd heart attack in New York and I got paralysis also. Half of the body is paralyzed, it seems. But still I survived. Only Krishna saved me. Somehow I am able to survive in order to, actually that time, 3rd time when he got heart attack, it's very nice, you know, the how it all happened. So Prabhupada, that time he didn't have many disciples also, but people are following him. You know, they are 67. So just when he came to US, I think, 66 he came, I don't know the year. So he told his disciples that 2 things. One is, you pray to Jagannath. If Jagannath wants me to stay, I will stay. Otherwise, I have to go, he told. So everybody, they did like 12-hour kirtan in the night to Jagannath or something. And then Yamuna Mataji, she had a realization from the way she looked at Jagannath, that Jagannath assured him that Prabhupada is safe, don't worry. Then she shared that thing with Srila Prabhupada in the book I read. Then other thing he told is, he taught the Narasimha prayers and the Narasimha, you know, Tavakara Kamalavare, that prayer. That prayer especially is for the protection of spiritual master. So whenever we sing that prayer, whoever is aspiring, they should pray to protect the spiritual master. And also the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So I pray personally, you know, I pray to protect ISKCON, pray to protect our spiritual master, and to pray to make sure this temple is abode of pure devotion. No, make this as attractive principle for pure devotees. Attractive thing. That's what I pray. So it's important to pray for the protection of spiritual master for Narasimhadev's prayer. So he taught that prayer and he told everybody to pray. And he said, especially this, he said this statement. You tell Narasimhadev, you pray to Narasimhadev that my spiritual master has not finished his service. Please allow him to stay so he can finish it. That's he just beginning his US Yatra actually. It was just beginning. So he said that actually. Then they heard the prayers and he got recovered. Then he thanked the letter saying, you know, thank you all for your prayers. Because of your earnest prayers, Krishna has, you know, made me stay back. No, so I can finish my Guru Maharaj's mission. So these are the ways Krishna can protect from death. Also another incident, so very close to my heart is also that, you know, recently our Guru Maharaj was diagnosed with cancer. So he was suddenly, something happened on his cheek or something, and then he went for a test. And then they analyzed and found out this melanoma, skin cancer. Then they extracted some tissues around it to check whether it spread everywhere. Then they did the testing for 2 days. Everybody was actually, you know, they didn't share with me, many people, because you don't know, right? So that period, Rasika Mataji, my mentor, was sharing that, it was very anxious, you know, 2 days, we don't know what's the result is going to come, you know, what is it? It's like, you know, life and death kind of thing. They waited and they figured out actually that it didn't spread anywhere. It was caught at the right time and it was cured at the right time. So then, but Maharaj is recovering for 2 weeks and he's saying, you know, now I have all the time to chant. He feels actually, you know, this is what very powerful statement he said. The whole time actually is devoted to serving Srila Prabhupada. You know, his instruction, especially Prabhupada gave instruction for him to preach boldly and have faith in the holy names. So he completely dedicated to spread this festivals, through festivals, spread the holy name all over the world. So he goes now to different countries, different cities, and even in India he's doing now, he's preaching. So he's completely, wholeheartedly, fully is dedicated. If anybody sees his history, he's actually perfect. He's done his service. Anybody can say that actually. But always the disciple feels he has not done enough for a spiritual master. Always they feel indebted to spiritual master, and that debt cannot be any time fulfilled. Forever, even lifetimes if you do, it's not fulfilled. So then that thing which he shared is that in his Facebook, he writes in messages, he shared, actually, I feel now my service has begun. Now I've got a new life. I feel now my service has begun. So that means it's whatever, then I feel okay, whatever it did itself is too much. Nobody can cope up, you know, what's more he's going to do. I was feeling like that, you know, but no, that's the mood they have, you know, that he feels like, you know, now even more I'm going to dedicate to serving my spiritual master. So, one more incident. I think we are running late, right? Oh, I have to cover some more, couple of verses. Okay, I think then we'll move on. So, we'll go to the next verse, text number 3. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Aksharam Brahma Paramam Svabhavo Dhyayatmam Uchyate Bhuta Bhavod Bhava Karo Visarga Karma Samnita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the indestructible transcendental living entity is called Brahman, and his eternal nature is called Adhyatma, the Self. Action pertaining to the development of the material bodies of the living entities is called karma or fruitive activities. So if you see, Krishna is answering 3 questions. So first is, we can read the first paragraph that Prabhupada says the points.
Brahman is indestructible and eternally existing, and his constitution is not changed at any time. But beyond Brahman, there is Param Brahman. Brahman refers to the living entity, and Param Brahman refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, so first answer, if you want to write down, the first answer, Brahman refers to actually the living entity. Right, that's what is the translation. Okay, continue.
The constitutional position of the living entity is different from the position he takes in the material world. In material consciousness, his nature is to try to be the lord of matter. But in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, his position is to serve the Supreme. When the living entity is in material consciousness, he has to take on various bodies in the material world. That is called karma, or varied recreation by the force of material consciousness.
Okay, the second and third questions is basically the nature of the living entity is to serve. So, his eternal nature, that is called self. Eternal nature to serve is called self, Adhyatma. Then the third one, karma. Karma is the activities by which the living entity takes different bodies. You know, all these fruitive activities. Because of these fruitive activities, we have to take up different bodies in order to enjoy the results or in order to suffer the reaction. So, these are all points there. I'm just briefly summarizing. Then we'll go to the third paragraph. So, actually, we can read this paragraph. It's not third. 1, 2, 3, 4, I think. It begins with the process of sacrifice. So in this paragraph, actually earlier what Prabhupada is going to say is that by karma we attain different planetary systems. Sometimes we go to heavenly planets and all those things. But even if you attain heavenly planets, after we finish our karma, we have to come back to material world. But how do the demigods come to the material world? They don't they fall. That's what Prabhupada is going to describe. You know, how they come, they appear in this material world. So this very nice point for us to remember. You can read this paragraph. The whole thing of how demigods or, you know, people from heavenly planets, they fall down to the material world. In the process of sacrifice.
In the process of in the process of sacrifice, the living entity makes a specific sacrifices to attain specific heavenly planets and consequently reaches them. When the merit of sacrifice is exhausted, the living entity descends to earth in the form of rain, then takes on the form of grains, and the grains are eaten by men and transform into semen, which impregnates a woman. And thus the living entity once again attains the human form to perform sacrifice and so repeat the same cycle. In this way, the living entity perpetually comes and goes on the material path. The Krishna conscious person, however, avoids such sacrifices. He takes directly to Krishna consciousness and thereby prepares himself to return to Godhead.
Yeah, so the sequence, you know, it's very nice to remember, you know, you can all make note of it. Comes as a rain, then takes form of grain, it's eaten by a man, transformed to semen, then he gets impregnated to a woman, takes birth. You know, this is how it happens.
This is from Bhagavatam, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know exactly where in Bhagavatam, but that's how demigods appear. Then other thing is, in the lecture, one important point, you know, it's actually the conclusion of the earlier discussion we had for long, is that Prabhupada was saying, actually, we are so fortunate, we have been given this process, Krishna consciousness, by which, you know, every minute we can remember Krishna, and we can somehow, you know, Prabhupada said, just take up this Krishna consciousness and remember Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, remember Krishna, so that at the moment of death, not only this life you will be happy, next life also you will go to spiritual world and be happy. So he said, we are very fortunate to have this process. So then text number 4 is going to answer the rest of the questions, some more questions. Adibhutam Sharo Bhava Purushas Chadi Daivatam Adi Agnoham Evatara Dehe Deha Vrutambara. Oh, best of the embodied beings, the physical nature which is constantly changing is called Adibhuta, the material manifestation. The universal form of the Lord, which includes all the demigods like those of sun and moon, is called Adidaiva. And I, the Supreme Lord, represented as a super soul in the heart of every embodied being, I am called Adi Yajna, the Lord of Sacrifice. So again, come some of the answers. So we can read the purport also as well. But it's okay, you know, I can paraphrase it for you. So the physical nature, basically the material manifestation, you know, the whole world which is constantly changing. The Prabhupada talks about 6 stages of transformation. What are the 6 stages?
Born.
Grow.
Stabilize.
Dwindle. Give byproducts. Dwindle. And vanish. So this is how the whole manifestation is ever changing. The whole material manifestation, that's called Adibhuta. Then universal form of the Lord, which includes the demigod. So universal form, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, is envisioned as, it's a bona fide speculation of how the whole planetary systems are considered to be, the whole creation, whole universe is considered to be the body of the Lord. Like, you know, lower planetary systems are within his leg region, no feet. Middle planetary systems are in this waist region and upper planetary systems are in his head. So you can envision Lord to be like that. That's called universal form. It's not a transcendental form. It's imaginary form. But it's nevertheless a Lord, bona fide form of the Lord. This is especially given for people who cannot approach the personal feature of the Lord, so that they can see the material world and remember Krishna. They can see the hills and say, you know, these are nothing but, they can see the trees and say these are hairs on the Lord. There are different descriptions. They can see the hills, they can see the lakes and their different things. They can correspond with the body of the Lord. That's how they remember. They slowly get familiarized with the personal aspect of the Lord. So it's for that purpose. So that's called Adi Devata, the universal form. Adi Yajna is Lord as a super soul, who is the Lord of the sacrifice. We know that, right? When we offer sacrifices, beneficiary, ultimate beneficiary is the Lord Vishnu, Krishna. So he is saying, as a super soul in the heart, I am the Lord of the sacrifice. So whoever is offering something, it's all coming to me. So these are some questions he answers. And then the last question briefly is answered in chapter number 5, but continues further also. So we'll just read this verse. Antakale cha mameva smaran mukva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nasti atra samshaya. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt. So Krishna is guaranteeing it. So at the end of his life, if he quits his body remembering me, what happens? He will attain his nature. That means transcendental nature. And he's saying, don't have any doubt about it. No, don't even have any doubt. Krishna is guaranteeing that. So we'll read this very important verse, purport.
Mm-hmm.
of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the
purest
of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced the Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice the Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve the success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as tree. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness.
Okay. So one main important couple of points Prabhupada is saying is that one has to practice this whole life, otherwise impure soul cannot remember Krishna at the time of death. Whole life one have to practice in order to have that, you know, good fortune of remembering Krishna at the moment of death. No, but some special cases Ajamila, but we cannot expect, you know, all of us can be become like, you know, so fortunate as Ajamila. But we have to diligently practice this whole life so that we can somehow, you know, remember Krishna will be merciful to our association of devotees at the time of death. No, it is said that actually at the moment of death, it's like a movie role. Whatever we experience the whole life, at least whole life, at least hopefully this life, only this life, goes through us, like, you know, just very fast, whatever we experienced. And whatever we are attached to, it just stuck there, the reel. That's all. You know, you are just focusing on that. That's your consciousness. Krishna, that's what, finished. No, next life, that's what you'll attain. That's what he's going to tell in the next verse, which we'll cover next class. Whatever consciousness you have in this, the moment of death, that's what you'll attain. The whole life you want to like stay in water, fish, swim around, next life you'll become fish. Whole life you want to sleep, kids will tell, we'll become polar bear. No, so what, that's basically it's mercy. Whatever our desires are, Krishna is fulfilling it by giving appropriate body. But whole life we always sincerely try to remember Krishna, then he will give a life, a body where we can do it nicely, you know, purely. No, that's spiritual body. So Prabhupada said, what is the way in which we can remember Krishna?
Chanting.
By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare, because Krishna's name and he are not different. The moment we say Krishna, Krishna, it's Krishna. Then but then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said this verse, right? Trinadapi, no, Kirtaniya Sadahari. How do we become Kirtaniya Sadahari? Means always chanting. For that, the verse, motto, one has to embody their life to become more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, offering all respect to others and expecting no respect from others. If we can do this, then we will not face any obstacle. That means there will not be any stoppage in our chanting, because Prabhupada is telling us to remember Krishna constantly. But there is, because of this, because of our pride, because of lack of tolerance, because of lack of respect to others, we may stop chanting. Actually, gradually you will notice when you practice little deeply, when you are introspective, you will see whenever you feel actually you are not able to chant, you are occupied with some issue related to these issues, related to these qualities about humility, tolerance. Because you don't have enough tolerance, because you don't have enough humility, that you are disturbed with certain situation. But then that's why we can take it as a lesson. Immediately feel like, you know, okay, why I'm not, see, somebody said, right, we are not chanting, we are immediately talking Rakesh or some husband's name. So some situations happen, we should monitor, you know, in this situation, why I didn't remember Krishna? Then, you know, is it because I'm not tolerant enough? Is it because I'm not, you know, humble enough? No, why I'm, instead of spending half an hour fighting with my husband, instead of chanting Hare Krishna, why? No? Because maybe I'm not humble enough, maybe I'm not tolerant enough, you know, why I'm not able to do it? So then we should say, you know, okay, let me cultivate these qualities. Let me pray, Krishna, make me humble, make me tolerant, and sometimes, you know, we feel everything is nice, we go somewhere else and we feel somebody didn't say Hare Krishna to us. we feel neglected, we feel offended, and that's all. That whole mood is gone. That chanting japa whole session is gone. So why? We are expecting respect from others. Right? So if you just go deeper and understand, you know, why we are not able to chant continuously, then this will underline, we come to these things. We don't have enough patience, we don't have enough tolerance, we don't have enough humility. We are not offering respect to others. We are expecting respect from others, which we are not being met. You know, so then we can pray to Krishna to give us these qualities so that we can always remember and chant about him. So that's why Prabhupada is talking about this. So at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. So one another story which I can share is like, so Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was very, he was appointed to build this Krishna Balram temple in Vrindavan, right? So one day he came and he complained to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, all the, you know, India, or especially in Vrindavan, the mood is everybody is saying Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, everybody is remembering name of Radha and Krishna, everybody, right? And all other disciples, everybody also chanting nicely, you know, Vrindavan Dham, so much nectar, everybody is chanting. Then he once came and complained to Srila Prabhupada, especially India, anything you do, it's so, Westerners, he's a Westerner and he's trying to build a temple. Obviously, Indians are trying to cheat him. So they put some mud in the cement and all those things. He has to face with all these issues he has to deal with. So he always constantly thinking, you know, is this good quality? Is the steel good quality? So much he's occupied with that, not about chanting Krishna's name. So he came and said, Prabhupada, you know, in Vrindavan, everybody is chanting Radhe Krishna, Radha Nam, everything. And we are meant to chant Hare Krishna, but I'm not the whole time occupied about thinking about cement, laborers, cheating, all those things. You know, how will I remember Krishna at the time of death? If this is my absorption. Then he said, you don't worry, you do this service, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will personally come and make you remember Krishna at the time of death because of your service you render to him. He told. So that's actually effective way for us to remember Krishna is if we can assist our spiritual master in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, assist Srila Prabhupada in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, if we dovetail all our effort and energy in that, serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission by mercy of spiritual master and Krishna, Srila Prabhupada will remember Krishna at the moment of death, even if it's so difficult as we have heard earlier, so painful, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and devotees will come and make us remember Krishna. So we have to serve the mission diligently, you know, serve the mission in spreading the mission, assisting Srila Prabhupada in helping others to the extent we have capacity. If we don't have capacity, at least we should pray that we can become like that. We should have the roadmap actually, you know. 5 years down the lane, I have to start Bhakti Gita. So what should I be doing now for that? You know, should I remember slokas? Should I, you know, practice some verses? Why can't we have a roadmap like that? Everybody will say, oh, I don't want to be scholar, I don't want to be teacher, I don't want to be, no, it's not my cup of tea. But you know, to whatever extent we have, to whomever people we meet, we can always share something, you know, it's always wonderful. Everybody is a preacher. So, okay, so I think that's all I had to share. Anybody has any questions or comments?
Is this memorizing verse?
Which one? Antakal, I don't know the list yet, but it's very important verse actually. If you can, it's good.
Very deep.
Yeah, very deep. You are really very tired. Okay. So anybody has anything to share? Any some incidents from your life or anything you want to take home? Actually, this is a very nice technique. I hope I'll implement. Vaisheshika Prabhu has a very nice technique. He speaks in his class. His classes are 2 hours or something. He speaks for 1 hour, 1.5 hours, tells some important points, and he says, now it's time for reflections. Reflections means people, whatever they heard, they have some certain things, you know, some things they felt it's striking to them, or some things they felt it's important for their service or something. So he makes them speak about that. So it goes deeper actually. So then people will hear it 2 times, other people. Not only first time, second time, then it becomes even more, it's a very nice technique I felt, you know, I'll implement it sometime. But we are doing it at the end of it and still nobody says anything. Somebody should share something.
Question. The attachment, it comes very quickly with everything. Any point in the day, if I observe, attachment may come anytime. No. If I do any small thing, attachment is there. But then we are talking about big thing like don't attach to even family members. Like I mean, birds are very like every day whenever I'm coming class, I'm feeling like target is getting more far and far. Because we are hearing more, right? So it looks like target is more far. It's not closer. So how to cultivate that every day? Yeah, we are not attaching. Even though you do a small thing, there is attachment, some expectations building. Even though in the foreground I say I don't attach, but somewhere in the background, yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, there's a little bit I'm attached. So, even the small things, I'm not talking about the even big things.
So the what we do is, we are not, you know, doing this. Prabhupada said, no, our philosophy is not negating things, you know, not this, not this, not this. We still have to live in this world, we have to deal with, you know, things in this world. So luckily, fortunately, you know, our acharyas have given a practical process by which we can deal with the things in this world but still make progress. The way we to do it is, we don't do Falgu Vairagya, means artificial renunciation. We do Yukta Vairagya. So we should connect everything to the service of the Lord. So we use our mind, intelligence, everything, whatever capacity we have. If we don't have, we can ask somebody who's more experienced. Ask, in this situation, I feel it, I see it as sense enjoyment. You know, can you show me how this is my service? How I can do it as a service? That's what we need to do. We need to see everything, connect everything as a service to the Lord. Then it's real renunciation. Then we are no more attached. This is a very nice, profound statement I heard from Radhanath Maharaj today. I hope I will be able to repeat it. Just one line. We are not attached to a service. We are attached to the spirit of the service. You can write down. It's a very nice actually, no? We are not attached to a service. We are attached to the spirit of the service. You got the point? So service may change. No, one day I'm a teacher. One day, you know, I'm a temple president. One day I'm, you know, like positions. These are all designations. I'm not attached to position. If you're attached to position, then that's all, I'm gone case, you know, because this position is going to go away at the end of this life. So I'm not attached to, we should not get attached to service. After some time, we get prestige, position of a water service. Okay, I'm managing book table. No, I'm the one. So suddenly when somebody says, you know, give it to somebody, he's like, no, I get so much, you know, people approach me with so many things about gift shop, you know, I should be the only one. I can't imagine my life without this service. That's what we'll come to. We'll get attached to whatever we are doing. Right? Yeah, exactly. So we should not be attached to service. We should be attached to the spirit of service. That means if service changes, my connection to Krishna and my attitude towards Krishna is of service, it's going to remain. So whichever position I am in, I'm still going to serve Krishna. So that is the ideal, you know, thing which we have to cultivate.
Can we, everything we do is, because everything is part of Krishna, right? Everything. So throughout the day, to me, like anything we do is a service to Krishna, like reading anything we can connect to Krishna.
Yeah, exactly.
Connect to Krishna. So even if I'm cooking for the family, I'm cooking offering to Krishna first. Anything I do is can just go back to Krishna.
Exactly.
So when it goes back, so I'm not away from Krishna
exactly.
at all.
Yeah.
So everything can
exactly.
be connected.
Yes.
So forgetting him doesn't, the question of forgetting him doesn't come because...
No, but this stage, not everybody can get it immediately. You know, you are fortunate, maybe you will be able to experience. But people take many years to come to that stage. You know, for me, I'm even struggling to remember Krishna while chanting, actually. So, you know, even while chanting his names, we cannot remember Krishna.
The mind will go somewhere, but then... like
still, yeah, in a sense, in theory, yeah, I'm talking about... Even we feel like that, we can go deeper, actually. Even we feel I'm remembering Krishna... throughout my day, we can go deeper actually. You will even find, no, deep sincerity means that's what we have to seek, always a point for improvement. If you are sincere, even once, 1/1000th of a second, you feel you forgot Krishna, you should feel miserable that I am not remembering Krishna. That's how a pure devotee feels, you know. They are completely remembering, serving Krishna, but still he feels, I am so fallen. No, how can they feel like that? That's the sincerity. That's the, you know, that's their, that's how we can make progress. Otherwise, we just say, you know, I am already pure devotee. Everything is done. No, so the point is, we should connect everything to service to Krishna. Then we don't enjoy. If we have this habit of, you know, we are not attached to service, but we are attached to spirit of service, then it doesn't, you know, hopefully we should cultivate. We should make it as a motto and we should cultivate this attitude. Okay. So you can stop here. Hare Krishna. జై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి జై.